Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey guys, it's Candace
and Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Woo, yeah, we thought we'd have this all figured out by the time we were in our 30s.
But surprise, we don't.
No, we don't. No, we don't. I don't even have this opening figured out. You think I would by this point, but that's okay. It's all okay. We're figuring it out together. Kayla, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm just impressed, Candace. I have to say, you look great. You look like you have it all together. So we're very, it's deceiving, I do have to say.
Well, thank you. I am trying. I did my hair today. That's all I got. So, you know, that's, I know. It's just life after baby and just no sleep. I forgot this whole, they make you forget that the children get older and then they let you sleep for a while and then you have another one and then that one doesn't let you sleep. And you're like, right. Wait, what's this? I don't remember this part. It's like your brain just erases it all.
But that's why it's so good. We're talking to a dear friend, Phoebe Tonkin, today, because even when you forget things, that's what friends are for. They pick you up. Don't worry. Phoebe has you. I have you. You guys, I'm sure all of our listeners know who Phoebe Tonkin is. But for those who don't, she is an Australian actress. You have seen her in many things, but most notably the Vampire Diaries spinoff, The Originals. She's an artist, activist, and now she can add a clothing designer to her extensive resume. Her new clothing line, Le Jour, has been quoted as perfectly suited for the era of biz leisure by Harper's Bazaar.
I'm so excited to talk with her. I mean, we've talked about, you know, finding inspiration, you know, within quarantine of last year and how that was a struggle throughout 2020. And then here we are catching up with Phoebe, who started a freaking clothing line. And that's really hard. And that's so cool. Phoebe's so cool. We got to figure out how she's so cool.
We thought she was cool before, but then she surpassed our expectations. So without further ado, here is our awesome interview with cool girl Phoebe Tonkin.
And we're here with Phoebe Tonkin. Phoebe, Thank you for coming on our very serious podcast, which you were just saying. This is only your second time podcasting.
Yes, I know. I'm so excited to be here. I can't believe it's like been so long since I've seen you guys. This is the next best thing. Even though to the people listening, they're just hearing our voices. I get to see your lovely faces right now on Zoom.
Oh yeah. Zoom has made the world go round. Well, a fun little fact is that when Kayla and I started this podcast 2.5 years ago now,
maybe even crazy,
maybe even three, you actually were on our short list for like, okay, we want to like arc out season one and who do we want to talk to? We want to make sure we have like really incredible guests who are really knowledgeable and can teach us the things we want to learn about in life. And so we had you on the list and we were like, we just want to be like Phoebe. We want her to teach us how to be like her because she's so freaking cool. Like maybe the whole episode is just Phoebe teaching us how to be cool. So now that we finally have you almost now like 3 years later, can you teach us how to be effortlessly chic and cool?
Please, please.
I know nothing. That's why it's taken me 3 years to get on this show because I have to learn a lot. I know. I feel like, you know, you guys have interviewed everyone. I'm so excited to like finally be on with you guys. But
well, there's just something really cool about you, Phoebe. And when we say cool, what we mean is you effortlessly own who you are in a city filled with people who try to be something else. You own who you are and you just embrace it. And for all the, I guess for lack of a better word, weirdness, like the quirkiness that you have as well. Not only are you just a stunningly beautiful artist, but you own your quirks. And I think a lot of people can benefit from kind of tapping into that instead of trying to go along with the mainstream. I don't know.
Do you know what I'm saying? Way of doing things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way of doing things. In LA, it's easy to just conform and you are really, you are beautiful in the way that you own who you are. So when we say cool girl, like that's what we're talking about. Is that something that you felt like when you moved to LA that you really stuck to? Do you feel like that's an element of that's like an Australian thing? Or do you feel like you had to learn that since you moved here?
I mean, firstly, this is the greatest morning ever. I feel so great right now. Thank you. I'm so flattered. And definitely don't necessarily agree with you that I'm a cool girl, but we'll definitely take the compliment and thank you. You know, I don't know. I don't find my, I don't know. Now I'm embarrassed. I don't know. I think that like the last few years, definitely, I mean, we've all known each other for God, how many years now? Like 8+ years.
A long time.
And, you know, sometimes I have to remind people, and I'm sure you had this as well, Candace, after coming back from Atlanta for so long, like, I feel like I've lived so many different lifetimes. I've had to rebuild my life so many times in so many different places and cities and countries and stuff. And so I do feel like I'm kind of just answering my own question here. I'm like, I feel like at 31, I'm definitely the most comfortable I've been in my entire young adult / adult life, probably because I just feel like I have experienced a lot and been around a lot of different types of people and have to, yeah, I mean, just restart again, you know? And I think there's a really big part of me that's very independent because I've sort of had to be independent. So I'll take the independent cool girl compliment then. not the cool girl, but I do consider myself very, very independent. Yeah.
No, I just want to touch on that idea that, you know, when you turn 30, you start to know yourself a little bit more.
Yeah.
And start to kind of fall in love with yourself a little bit more and find what works in life. How did you get to that point? So many of our listeners ask this. How did you get to the point where you can learn to love yourself for who you are?
You know, I definitely, and I'm sure you guys feel the same. It honestly is like time and experience. I mean, I have been deleting photos from like a few years ago on my phone, and I look at these photos And, you know, I was living such a like lovely life and traveling and having all these amazing experiences. But at the time, there were just so many other things that I was worried about and thinking about. And I finally come to a place of like, you know, I'm really grateful for where I am. And I don't know. I think there's like a careless that I've found in the last year. I was so sensitive for so many years and I took everyone's opinions on board and it just ate me up. And I was blinded by the amazing experiences that I was having by this like deep insecurity. And I do feel like this is, am I allowed to say fuck on this podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like fuck the last yeah. one was, I don't give a fuck. Like I just don't. And that's definitely taken a long time. I mean, that definitely was not me 3 years ago. I was the most fucks given all of the time. And but yeah, I do think it has just been time and age and experience. And you know, it's not something I look at girls that are 21. They're seemingly so confident and have it together. And maybe people thought I did at that age, but I definitely didn't. Definitely been the last few years of like growth and time and, you know, all those things, therapy.
Oh yeah. Therapy's a big help. It is funny you mentioning that. I've been thinking a lot about my early 20s and and how confident I was. Like I was so fearless during that period of time. And then as the 20s carried on, it's like that's when I started letting all the little voices just kind of eat me up and deteriorate me. And yeah. It wasn't until, for me, it more so took, as opposed to turning 30, I feel like that kind of was a spiraling point for me in my own way. But it was really this past year. I mean, the experience of just being home and, okay, now I don't have to worry about, obviously I'm worrying about making sure that my family is taken care of and that we can put food on the table, but it's not any level of expectation beyond that. It's not, okay, well, what is everyone going to think about what I'm doing right now? And it took a minute to break that habit. Those voices were so loud at the beginning of quarantine. And almost a year later, it's like I'm finally starting to feel that sense of what I'd always hoped for in my 30s of just, oh, you know, this is my life and the voice within myself and within like my immediate friends and family. Like those are the voices that are really important to me. Not the comparison to like what someone else might think of me that I don't even interact with on a daily basis.
You know, I think social media is such a powerful tool, but you have to look at it like you're reading a magazine, like it's an editorial, you know, and to look at Instagram and look at social media, like people are living these extremely wonderful, happy lives. You know, you have to take it with a grain of salt. And I feel like I'm guilty of that at times as well, where I've definitely portrayed a life that was something very different to the inner workings of what I actually was experiencing and feeling at the time. I think we're all victims of it, no matter who you are, how many followers you have. You're always going to be a victim of comparison and also being the person that is, like I said, portraying something that isn't necessarily as true as it really is in reality. And I definitely feel like the last year I've really tried to, you know, I feel like the kind of very filtered, very, you know, aesthetically pleasing Instagram days are done. Thankfully, you know, I think there's a kind of a realness and authenticity to Instagram that is starting to creep in.
Is that something you're comfortable with sharing, kind of that authenticity? Kayla and I have talked about it a lot where we feel like this medium as a podcast is easier for us to have conversations. Mm-hmm. And talk about like what's going on that might be more difficult for us in our lives or something that we're challenged with in our lives. But social media has been really hard to be like, I'm having a terrible day and here's my pimples and here's all my like everything going wrong today. Like I've just never felt comfortable being on social media like that, even though I love when other people do that.
Totally. I mean, this is a great platform for those kind of more real conversations because, you know, there's also an escapism to social media. I think social media is vilified in a lot of ways, but I do like picking up my phone. It's like how I used to buy every magazine under the sun, and I wanted to see something that was surreal and fantastical and something that wasn't entirely attainable. And so it is that fine balance of like, if I just was scrolling through Instagram, it was just a bunch of people miserable and complaining and sad. I don't think that would be very healthy either. So this is definitely probably quite cathartic for you guys and for people like your guests to come on and sort of talk more honestly, you know.
It's interesting because it sounds like you've found a way to find inspiration through social media. And I really feel like after this year of quarantine, there are two types of people. One is the type of person who is really struggling to find inspiration right now and to create and to do all these things. And there's another type that has found, been able to harness it and find their inspiration and really put it and create and make something of it. Having seen everything you've accomplished during quarantine, I feel like you're the latter. How do you find that inspiration and where do you go and what is your process like?
I even feel like my taste and personal style has definitely really evolved over the last few years as well. I don't know if you guys have found that as well. I just feel like I want to get rid of everything in my wardrobe because it feels like a different person than I have been over the last like 2 years. I think that like our generation grew up with like the Kate Mosses of the world. And there was a very specific type of beauty that was, you know, the pinnacle of what beautiful and what, you know, thin and fashionable. And I do think with like TikTok and Instagram and all these different mediums now, there's sort of room for everything, you know, there's room for so many different styles and body shapes. And so, I started this brand Le Jour, and I had been thinking about doing it for a few years, but kind of going back to what you said, Candace, I felt like there was this stigma about, oh, you know, I want to be a serious actress and no one will take me seriously if I have a clothing brand that I am, you know, promoting on Instagram. And it took me a really long time to kind of just, you know, like you were saying, just like get over that insecurity and be like, no, this is what is important to me and this is what's fun and inspiring to me. And I definitely pull inspirations from, you know, more masculine type girls that aren't just trying to, I personally just dress for comfort. I am, as you know, I turn up to set on in sweatpants every day for 6 years, Candace, but I wanted something that felt a little bit more elevated than just wearing sweatpants. But, you know, I haven't put on jeans in about a year. I don't want to try those jeans on. They're going in the Goodwill basket. I wanted to create a line of clothing that was as fluid for how people are feeling in terms of their body, in terms of how they, you know, are working. You know, a lot of people like we're doing now are spending hours in front of a computer screen. And sometimes, at least in my instance, for the first 6 months of quarantine, I was living at my boyfriend's house and we didn't have a lot of room for both of us to work. So I did everything in bed, you know, and I had a little bed desk and I didn't want to be sitting around in like jeans or anything tight. Or I also didn't want to sit around in pajamas all day because mentally I really couldn't get anything done. Mm-hmm. So I wanted something that sort of fit in the middle, that was tailored and flattering and made, you know, you feel comfortable, but still kind of, you know, a little done up and elegant and chic at the same time. So that's sort of what was the inspiration behind it.
Right. It's such a brilliant concept because now more than ever, it's so important to dress. What we put on every day is so important because our mental health is, I think, much more prevalent because we are, most of us are at home being quarantined. And so to be able to feel a little bit more confident and a little bit more professional and also be comfortable, you've really bridged the gap between the two. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
And so you came up with this concept essentially before 2020, before quarantine, before COVID, but it was that quiet time that really inspired you to take that next step and go. And that's a huge feat. Starting mm-hmm. a clothing line is not easy. You know, we have friends with clothing lines and they've had them for over a decade. And just even now, you know, the rigorous schedule of constantly staying on top of keeping the business going and growing. So starting a clothing line is not that easy. How did you you don't just like magically bippity boppity boop. What was your starting point? Did you have friends you were able to call and connect with? Did you know the designs you wanted? And I also really, really want to highlight the eco-responsible element of this line, because that's so cool.
Yeah,
it's so cool, girl.
Cool girl. I guess going on now 2 years ago, you know, I love jewelry. For me, I express myself through jewelry, and I always loved the aesthetic of like sweats and jewelry. Like I thought it was just such a chic way of dressing. But every time I would sort of wear my sweatpants with my nice jewelry, it just looked a little off. And so that was the original concept, was like sweats and jewelry. And then when COVID hit and I was sitting at home, and, you know, as all of us as actresses, you know, it was kind of a harsh, like there was a period that I really wondered whether or not I would ever find myself on a set again. You know, and even still, you know, it's a strange time in our industry in terms of that world. I started acting when I was 16, and I didn't grow up wanting to be an actress. I grew up just enjoying acting. And so acting was never like the be all end all job that I wanted to have. I wanted to work for Teen Vogue. That was always my dream. And so, you know, I've never felt like I've had all these like options for my career. They were always just like, well, I liked doing a bunch of things. So if acting doesn't work out, there are so many other things that I would find equally as enjoyable and exciting for me. And so when COVID happened, I did start thinking like, okay, you know, I'm 31 this year. I love working. And what other opportunities could I find that I would still be like, you know, excited by? And then I revisited this sweats and jewels idea from a year or so before. And then honestly, I just have a lot of great friends that, you know, like you guys that work in fashion. And I just started asking around and, you know, compiling a lot of resources and information. And, you know, we were lucky that all the clothes are using the same material, and we manufacture everything in Los Angeles. So everything, even though it was like a wild thing to start during COVID, everything is very contained. You know, we make everything downtown. Everything is cut and sewn. Everything is made there. And then shipped out of our office, which is local as well. So, you know, as far as a clothing brand, it's smaller than most, where you're outsourcing from, you know, different countries. And to talk about the eco side of that, you know, even keeping everything local, you're minimizing the amount of like carbon that you're using by flying things back and forth and testing things. You know, we are trying to minimize as much of an eco footprint that we possibly can. And that is, you know, how the fabric is made, keeping it locally, all the kind of, you know, add-ons that a clothing brand has, like tags and instructions and washing instructions and everything that we use for Le Jour is really thoughtfully designed so that, you know, it is really sustainably responsible. And that, well, for me, other than my ego, was another reason why I was hesitant to start a clothing brand, because I feel like there is so much waste out there already. And if I was going to bring something else into the world, I wanted to make sure that it was sustainable and responsible and wasn't just more junk on the planet that is already filled with a lot of junk.
Going back to social media a little bit, that is something I've noted, because that's how we've all kind of kept in touch with each other over this past year of not seeing each other. Yeah, it's been like reading magazines and like getting updates from all of your friends on what they're up to. I've noticed that you've definitely taken more of an interest in how you can be more responsible to the planet and what you can do. Is that something that started kind of around quarantine or before quarantine? I mean, I know from, you know, our years in Atlanta that there was an element of that, and you were very aware of commercial farming and things like that. But I feel like I've seen now a whole other, like using like wax paper and other, we've talked about, you know, being more responsible on this podcast, but what have you found that it's really like enriched your life and that you've learned about eco-responsibility, if that's a word. It is now. Okay, great.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I was always very healthy growing up and mindful, but that mindfulness was more about like the food I ate and, you know, skincare products that I used, and less about, you know, using less stuff, you know. And I feel like it was probably about 2 years ago, actually, I went on this amazing trip to the Great Barrier Reef a year and a half ago. And that was a really big wake up call to, you know, the effects of climate change and my direct responsibility as just one small person on this planet of millions and millions. And that was definitely, you know, a bigger wake up call. And then through that, you know, I've just found myself learning more. And, you know, I think just being Australian, we're just very aware. I think the bushfires last year were, the year before, technically, you know, that was a very traumatic experience for everyone that was there at the time. And, you know, there are definitely correlations to everything that's happening with climate change and the bushfires and, you know, being so viscerally like close up to those bushfires was definitely a big wake up call. And Venice also, and I know you guys are good with this too. I've always thought, like, if you have a platform, there is a social responsibility, and not every social issue is going to be for everyone's demographic or anyone's interest. But, you know, I think to just use Instagram as a self-serving, you know, platform, I don't know. I think there's a way to kind of find ways to also educate as well as share things that are cute and exciting.
For our listeners who are listening now and really want to try to start that, because I think making that change in your life is important, but it's a huge step. What are some small little things they can do that will in turn make a big impact?
So I was the same. I always was so overwhelmed because I felt like, you know, I had to be vegan and had to do all these extreme, not that veganism is extreme, but I felt like I had to do everything to be doing something. And, you know, I do think that people get overwhelmed and they get intimidated and then they just go, well, fuck it, I don't want to do anything. And there are really small things, you know, like I do eat meat, I don't eat a lot of meat, but, you know, minimizing the amount of meat that you're eating is one thing. It does not mean you need to cut out, but minimizing, you know, it's easier because we're at home all the time. I try not to get, you know, coffees out all the time, you know, and reducing the amount of like plastic cups that I'm getting. And, you know, but every now and then I just really want an iced coffee and I, you know, like it, but if you kind of, I feel like people then go, well, I broke it, so now I don't care. And I'm just going to, you know, I think people just need to take the pressure off themselves and realize that like just little things really have a big impact, because if everyone is doing little things, and also honestly, just being aware of what you're buying, you know, being an like educated consumer, and you know, it doesn't have to be these humongous, massive lifestyle changes. They can just be things.
They can be small, attainable goals, and that makes a difference too.
Yeah, it doesn't. Or like, you know, if you're going and buying, this is a silly one, but like if you're buying cucumbers, don't buy cucumbers covered in plastic. Just buy the cucumber and wash it when you go home. Like little things like that. They add up, you know, because if enough people stop buying the plastic cucumbers at supermarkets, maybe they will stop wrapping cucumbers in plastic and selling them. Just put them there and wash them when you go.
Yeah, we did an episode on this podcast and we had a guest who for her entire family would have all of their waste fit into a glass jar by the end of the year.
Wow.
And so she would even tell us that she would, in the whole year with, she has children as well. And so she would tell us that she would go through when she was searching for fruits and vegetables to even try to find the fruit. If she had to go to a grocery store, because at farmers markets, you don't have to worry about this, but she tried to find the fruits and vegetables without stickers on them.
Stickers.
She's like, I couldn't waste the space in my jar. I couldn't, like, I didn't need all those stickers.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just don't realize until you start opening your eyes a little bit more as to like how many unnecessary elements of waste there are everywhere.
Right.
But that's why it's nice that you've started a new business that specifically looks at that ahead of time. You know, how can I minimize the amount of waste in clothing, that especially that what I love is that, you know, how you're marketing it is that you wear the different pieces within themselves. It's not like, you know, it's not disposable fashion, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like these are lifelong pieces that you can have for a long time.
Yeah. And also like in that, the other facet of, you know, these are clothes that you can wear to a sleepover or a girl's night or when the world opens up again, a nice restaurant. Like I wanted something like buying less, but using the clothes you have in more diverse ways, you know, and not needing, you know, that much stuff. You know, this is Le Jour and I wear it watching Netflix in bed all day. I wear it on Zoom calls like this. And, you know, when I'm wanting to look a little funky, sexy, pretty, I put some actual makeup on and blow dry my hair. And it kind of elevates the outfit, you know, even more. So, yeah.
Speaking of Teen Vogue, I feel like anytime I pick up a Teen Vogue or any magazine for that matter, it talks about how, you know, how to transition your outfits from day to night. And that's exactly what you did. And, you know, so many of these magazines have written about Le Jour and made it just, I mean, it's really becoming a huge cult brand. So congratulations to you. That is just like so phenomenal. I really want to make sure we talk about an amazing, another inspiring thing you've done over quarantine. You wrote and directed your first short film, Furlough. Please talk to us about that. Tell us everything.
So I'm a crazy person and I can't sit still. I actually made Furlough in 2019, actually.
Okay.
But it's just coming out. And I made that in Australia and shot it in New South Wales and then edited it in New York City. And this last year, you know, bittersweet, it, you know, got into a bunch of really great festivals, but unfortunately they were not, you know, IRL festivals. They were all pushed to be on online, but it's actually airing. The first real like in-person festival is happening in about a week and a half at a festival called Flickr Fest in Australia. So that's very exciting. Sadly, cannot be there for it, but a lot of the cast and crew are going to be able to attend. So that's exciting. Yeah.
Where can our listeners watch it? Or is it available for anyone to watch yet or not yet?
I think the festival runs were just for a limited time, but I would say after Flickr Fest, we're going to probably put it on online so people can just watch it for free. But we were sort of waiting until the festivals had kind of shared it themselves.
Right. And the storyline, it's two young girls. Can you, I know that you were inspired by it from, I think, a little bit of your own youth. Can you tell us about the storyline of the short?
It's about two girls who are kind of, it's hard to sort of give a synopsis without giving away the ending. It's about two young girls who go on a bit of a road trip. And you kind of go along with these girls and they kind of get themselves into trouble, but then you realize that there's actually a really beautiful, meaningful intention behind why they're taking this quite naughty, you know, adolescent road trip experience together. But yeah, I wrote it. I directed it myself. I directed it with these two incredible Australian actresses called Markella and Millie Alcock and my friend Ryan Kaur. And that was a really incredible experience and something that I would love to do more of as well, and was hoping to do more of this last year, but pandemic. So that's definitely something to kind of put in the, you know, found the lion.
Yeah, lazy. You just started a clothing line instead. Yeah. Come on, get it together, Phoebe. Set the bar so low.
Which do you prefer when it comes to writing, directing, and acting? Because they are so different. After having experienced them all, do you have a preference?
You know, I really loved directing. I actually just, there was something really beautiful about being part of the creative process. And, you know, as we know, sometimes when you're on set, you're so far removed from that experience. I like being part of that and being shaping the characters and I definitely love acting, but I would like a world where I get, you know, a little bit of both, I would say. Mm-hmm. I had, I think, 7 weeks of pre-production and it was just magic, you know, being able to research and, you know, talk to different people and really shape these characters in this film myself, as opposed to just sort of getting handed a script and standing on a line and being told this is what you have to say right now without asking any questions. But there's beauty in both of them. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the chocolate bliss and caramel sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
And we're back.
So now looking back, I actually realized I've never asked you this question about your about kind of the end of the originals or Vampire Diaries. But I'd be surprised if you had an answer for Vampire Diaries. But at the end of the originals, did you steal anything from the set? I feel like I get asked that question all the time. Like now looking back, I've been going through all my in quarantine. I've been like organizing a lot and finding the little things that I've taken from set. Did you take anything?
You know what? I don't think I did. I would have liked my wedding rings, but I didn't take anything. I wasn't there on the last day. I wasn't there. I think my last day was a few days before the last day. Which, by the way, Julie Plack, if you're listening, she has all this footage of all of us doing our last takes, which really needs to be edited together into a montage because I'm sure it's kind of hilarious. I don't know if she did it with your show as well.
Yeah, I know. I'm realizing that I never saw it either. I'm like, I feel like it's somewhere. Like everyone's crying and cheering each other on.
Yeah.
Wait, so what is this? What does this mean? What do you mean doing the last take?
I mean, I fell to the floor. Like it was the most surreal. I mean, more so I'm sure for you guys, but when they said, I was also so sad because I was like in a reduced crew and all the people that I'd like worked with for 6 years were not on my set when I said goodbye. So I think that was also why I was crying. I was like, I'm not going to see all these people that aren't even here again. But it's going to be pretty funny footage of all of us just like collapsing, crying and saying goodbye.
I feel like we can ask Julie to make that happen, especially during quarantine. Yeah, that might be something we need to do.
I'll do it on iMovie. You can just send me all the footage. But I didn't steal anything. And I do regret not stealing more.
I want to know, was there any sort of like funny story? I mean, you know, being on set, a lot of times we're making out with people and we're also half naked and we're doing all this crazy weird shit that people in a normal 9-to-5 don't do. So do you have any, you know, funny moments that you remember or awkward moments that you will always kind of remember?
I was going to say something for you to edit out, but I'm not even going to risk it. What would be, I mean, I remember projectile vomiting all over the set once.
Like not a stunt purpose? Vomit or a
yeah. stunt? No, like I ate something bad and it like was disgusting.
Only on a Supernatural show would you be like, wait, on purpose or was it part of, was it an accident? You're like, yeah, so you vomited all over set. Yes, yes.
What else? I mean,
you were pregnant for like a year. Like how long did you have to wear that fake pregnancy belly?
I wore that for a year. I used to hide my phone under that belly so that I could
Yeah, for those listening, there is a thing about actors like to have their phone near them, but then you have to figure out where to put it. So sometimes you hide it like, you know, under furniture, in couches, like all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I guess that's one plus, Phoebe. If you have a fake pregnancy belly, you just stick it in there.
Glasses in there, a book. I don't know. You know, when I think back about that time, a lot of my like fondest memories, and this is when I really look back at that period of just like, what a beautiful, amazing, unique experience that I will probably never have again, was that we would work together for 10 months. We all lived in the same area. We would go to the restaurants. And then during the couple of months we had, we go to these amazing events, stay in these hotels and travel together. I mean, that's when I really look back and I get like very nostalgic. Like, Candace, like you and me have been to like the craziest countries together. And like,
I know
that time in Paris, like when we all walked to Hotel Cost, and like, there's just so many crazy, funny, amazing memories that I have with all of us traveling.
What's the craziest place you guys have been to together?
God, it all blends in.
does. We've been to Belgium together, Barcelona, Paris.
Yeah.
To Rio without me, because that was Australia. But yeah, just very funny. Very funny. And like running into like, I'd see like Michael Trevino at like a museum. And it was like, we moved from Atlanta to these like very beautiful European cities for a week. And like, it was like, we take over. That was very special and fun.
There was like an element of like this forced codependence of like all of the cast. I mean, it was essentially like, oh gosh, what a long day. I just have to get out of here and like go home. Well, where are you guys going to dinner? Let's go have dinner. After like 14 hours of working together, we'd still be like, yeah, but let's go eat dinner first together and then we'll all separate. And then we have to like get away from work and it's a summertime or summer break and we're like, yeah, but I'll see you in a week in Belgium. It's like, it was ridiculous. We just never ever left each other's sides.
I mean, I think Karina McKenzie tweeted something the other day about like Krog. I mean, we would start work and we'd be at work from like 6 to like 9 o'clock at night, and then we would go to this bar in Atlanta called Krog with Julie and everyone, Pascal, and be there till like 6 in the morning. It would be like 24 hours of hanging out and working, and then do it all again, you know, later.
So you guys spend all that saturated time together, right? And for almost a decade, I guess Phoebe Originals was 8 years, Vampire Diaries was 10 years. And then all of a sudden, you don't see each other anymore. You have to move to a different city. You have to find I don't know if it was a new identity, but you have to, you know, reestablish yourself in a new city with new people, make new friends. How did you guys do that? That seems like a really good life lesson to have.
How do you do it, Candace?
Oh, gosh. Well, running into you in LA helped a lot. There was this bizarre period of time where Phoebe and I would be driving around separately, like having not spoken to each other. Exactly what you're saying, Kayla. Like, you get to a city, you know, everyone kind of finally pushes pause and like no one's really talking to each other for the first time in a decade. And I feel like Phoebe and I would end up driving next to each other on like the days when we really needed someone. And I'd like look over to my left with like tears in my eyes and I'd be like, Phoebe. And like, and we've run into each other so many times doing this, where like one of us would be having a tough day and we just pull our cars over and be like, well, I guess it's still the universe bringing us together.
I remember distinctly you giving me your sunglasses at a Starbucks on Ventura. The sunglasses on for a moment, so we stopped crying. It was, you know, for me, that was a really strange readjustment period. I don't know if it was for you as
well. Me too. It was really rough. It felt like almost like a breakup, divorce, like rebirth. But emotional from the job, you know, that was a career. It felt like retirement, like what people describe what they go through when they're retiring. It felt like an element. It felt like I had to grieve losing this job and this life that I'd had for so long.
Totally. And I feel like I wished at the time I'd acknowledged that more, because I kind of landed back in LA and I was so lost. I was like, because also, you know, we got so comfortable being in Atlanta. I didn't even come back and forth from LA that much by the last few years. Like, I was really just in Atlanta or a little bit in New York. And yeah, I feel like there should be a manual for like finishing a long running show in a different city and then moving back to Los Angeles, because I didn't know what to do. And yeah, like you said, like, it felt like my identity had sort of been so shaped by the show and you guys. And suddenly I was like floundering by myself in Los Angeles. And yeah, it did feel like a massive divorce.
What's been weird is in like, you know how right now, especially in the last year, they've come out with so many like throwback thing, like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air did a special. Like Schitt's Creek had such success that they did like an end of the series, like goodbye, the filming of the last day and a little documentary towards that. Game of Thrones has one where they film the last day. And I found myself watching these and just crying my eyes out, being like, that I don't know how to verbalize like what I'm feeling, but I know that I connect with like everything that everyone's feeling in these videos, which is just like this insane connection with each other this like language that they all know how to speak that no one else really knows. And then this like kind of emotional roller coaster of like joy and grief that it's like for what that experience was and this gratitude towards it, but also just like knowing that it doesn't really get repeated, that there's something special about it.
Yeah. And also I feel like that experience is very unique. Because we were all sort of, we were all around the same age and you guys obviously had been doing it before us, but like, I don't know if I got, if I started a show right now, it would be the same. I think I'm like past the point of like wanting to be codependent to my co-stars and like hang out as a pod all the time. So I do feel like it kind of was this sort of like beautiful experience that won't be replicated, at least for me in my, probably career. But it is nice. Like, I feel like we all, you know, I haven't seen you guys in person for a long time, but like, I feel like with all of us, if there was ever anything that anyone needed, there is just that familiar, like if I was, Candace, it's midnight. Can you come and help me? I'm fine. you know, when you spend much time together, it does, you know, it's like with my old school friends. I don't see them for years, but then we hang out, which hopefully we can all hang out one day in the future, and it will just be like, you know, 6 years ago at Krog and nothing has changed. And I think that is a really beautiful thing, even though we don't all get to see each other as much as I'm sure we'd all like to.
You know, it's also really beautiful because to hear the two of you talk about having to struggle through a transition like that, because not just in social media, but a lot of times people just assume that if you have been on a long running show, you kind of have your life together. And it's refreshing to know that at the end of the day, everyone's just human and just goes through the same struggles. And moving to a new city, no matter who you are, what you've experienced, we all are going to have a tough time. And that's life. And that you can call on your friends anytime that happens. And hopefully life helps you out and you end up next to them on the freeway when you need to pull over and wear a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very true. Well, I also want to ask a little bit, just to plug it before we stop. But your show Bloom, is that still going to go another season? I know you're not in Australia, so that's why I'm like,
it was always two seasons.
Okay.
Yes. Which is also a very funny, like going from like 24 episodes a season to like six episodes, two seasons.
It's amazing. It's like how it's, it's a breath of fresh air of, I'm sure, a creative experience.
Yeah. So yeah, we did the second season again. I'm going to say last year. It was not last year. It was year before last. And we're not doing another season, but it's on Hulu. And yeah, I would like to be in Australia right now. They're doing better than here.
Well, it's been so fun to watch everything that you've done since the originals, and you should feel very, very proud of yourself. It's been fun cheering you on via social media since we haven't been able to see each other as much. That's, again, it is a very nice part of social media when you get to just see like the highlight reels of like all the fun things that your friends are doing. Because, you know, it's hard to be able to see each other as much. I think after this experience of quarantine, we're all going to be making very different efforts to see each other in person. It's going to be, I mean, I know that's what, that's been like the new question. And we're recording this pretty soon after the new year. And that's been kind of the new year's like 2021 question my husband and I keep asking each other is like, what is it going to feel like? He's good. He's good. He's a, you know, he's a whole different kind of rock star right now. He's he's hanging four with girls, baby.
Four kids,
I know. Four girls. We got a full house.
Damn.
He's hanging with baby, so mama can do this. But what is it going to be like when we all get to be together? Which I think is like a kind of a beautiful version of a resolution in itself. Like, is there something that you guys are excited for when that can happen? Is it like, oh my gosh, I know on the other side of this, like I want to spend more time in, I don't know, who knows, in solitude hiking more because I really like it. Or I just want more dinner parties with friends, or I want to travel, or, you know, is there something on the other side of this that you're, what will it be like? Is there something that you want it to be like? Both of you.
Taylor, what do you think?
Yeah, so I was thinking about that. That's such a good question. I think for me, it's the quality of people that I want to dedicate my time to, because having a handful of really close people I can count on has been something that I've found that's really important to me during quarantine. And while I'm going to miss all the big parties and everything like that, I want to make sure I hone in on specific relationships and make sure they develop and thrive. And I'd rather have a handful of really good close friends who I can help and can be there for me than to know everyone at the party, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I took for granted so many really mundane things, like popping over someone's house and drinking wine or having a cup of tea, that just feel so foreign now. That definitely when things start, you know, all I want, I feel like I'm mentally preparing because I just keep buying like plates and serving platters. Dinner party. So I'm just like stockpiling dinner party things, waiting for the day.
It's a quick fix.
You guys makes you feel come over. Yeah, like this is sitting on a big cheese cutting board right now. And I'm just like candles. I'm just like so excited to, yeah, just like the things that matter. It's just like company. And I mean, also the crazy thing is like, not hugging anyone. Like it's the weirdest. Like I'm sure you guys have kids and this is my boyfriend, but I haven't hugged my friends in so long, and I'm not even a hugger, but I crave just that like release of just like unspoken love and affection for your friends or even just like anyone. It's a really strange thing. I just want to hug people. And this weird feeling of like, there's a real detachment. And I'm sure in years to come, there will be some subconscious side effects to all of this, like that I don't think we are acknowledging yet, you know, like touch and closeness and affection and all those things that we're just not getting and not giving. And very strange, very, very strange.
It's funny. I was going through videos from 2020 and we participated in a photo shoot Kayla and I did for our friend's clothing line, Show Me Your Moo Moo. And so it's all of our friends. Yeah, it's like all of our closest friends in one room. And, you know, even our friend who's doing hair and makeup, other friends who work for the clothing line who are styling it. And we're all just in a room together, like 15 of us. And I just like did a video, and this was back in February of last year. So before the shutdown. And so I did a video and everyone in the room is just on their phone. And at the time it's just like, haha, yeah, we're all just hanging out on our phones. But now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, if we would have known that that was one of the last times we'd all be in a room together, like how it would have been so different. So different. And I was in a foul mood that day because I was feeling insecure about some bullshit that I can't even remember now. And it's just, you look back and you're like, God, I definitely don't want to take those moments for granted. And I don't want them to be drowned out by little voices in my own head that don't matter, that have no place to be there.
That story is so inspiring because I feel like it's so easy right now to think about all the negative repercussions of being in quarantine. And that is such a positive that maybe will change once we're out of this.
Yeah.
That we won't be on our phones. We'll put our phones away and the time together will matter so much more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like the gratitude and not taking things for granted once all of this opens up. I mean, even just traveling, like I just crave all the things that I would put on my bucket list. Like I want to go to India and I want to go to all these places. I'm just doing it because just in case this happens again in my lifetime, like I want to have those experiences that I have been putting off or thinking, oh, I'll get to that one day, or I'll find that or fly there or visit that place one day in the future. And it's not an urgency, but there's definitely like when things go back to normal, like, no, like you really don't know what can happen in this life. And, you know, but how have you guys like been in all of this? Like, how have you been like taking care of yourselves in this very strange time?
We aren't. We just take care of kids.
By the way, that, yeah, right, right.
When we first started this, Phoebe was like, "Wow, your hair looks so good." And I was like, "That's because," and mentally I thought, "That's because it's the only time I've done it in like the past 5 weeks."
Yeah, that's it's kind of, you know, I don't think I have to constantly remind myself, and this is really embarrassing. But what's helped me recently, because I have felt very overwhelmed, and I spent, I think, a lot of moments last year thinking like, oh my gosh, these emotions are so big and so real. And I was very pregnant and very hormonal and feeling isolated and scared and just volatile and all the things, thinking like, you know, I wonder if anyone else is feeling this way. And of course everyone is feeling that way, but you're so isolated that you think it's kind of your own feelings that no one else understands. And now that they're starting to air Real Housewives episodes in which they filmed in quarantine, it's really helped me being like, oh my God, they were going through the exact same thing.
I didn't know that. Okay,
that I was going through.
I think maybe I should start.
So if you need anything, like, I really highly recommend watching at like the Real Housewives as they were filming in quarantine. Right. Like, you know, Orange County isn't my favorite, but I feel like the season's really been helping me to understand that we're all in it together in a way, you know?
This is the cheapest version of therapy that there is. Instead of paying your therapist, just turn on Real Housewives.
It's fantastic. And also, I'm sorry, if Tayshia can make it at the La Quinta Inn for all those weeks on The Bachelorette, then we got this.
That's all I keep thinking about
is Tayshia watching The Bachelor right now being like, look at this. He's got like a whole freaking like beautiful fall foliage field. And she was just stuck at the La Quinta Inn in Palm Springs in the dead of summer. So if Tayshia can do that, we got this, guys.
We got this.
That's my advice on how to make it through the rest of quarantine.
Speaking of like, we got this, Phoebe, I know we have so many fans listening, so many people who really look up to you. And a lot of our listeners are younger and really impressionable. If you were to leave them with one anecdote or one little piece of advice to help get through quarantine, to help them figure out who they are as an individual, to help them figure out inspiration, any of that, what would it be?
I feel like when I was a 15-year-old, I was so cool and I let so many sort of outside sources tell me what was cool and what wasn't cool. And I really do feel like if you are a young person and you're listening to this, your uniqueness and weirdness and curiosity is what makes you interesting and special, and not trying to follow trends or be like your friends at school or be like someone you follow on social media. I think like really embrace what makes you special and funky and cool. That would be my advice for my own self at that age. And it's something that only now I'm able to listen to.
That's great.
Phoebe, thank you so much for joining us today. And for, I'm sure a lot of our listeners already do follow you on social media, but in case you have some new fans, where can they find you?
At Phoebe J. Tonkin.
And Leisure also has an Instagram.
And Shop Leisure, which is Shop and then Lesjur on Instagram.
Thank you so much.
One thing that really struck me when listening to you and Phoebe reminisce, Candace, was how you gave her your sunglasses in a Starbucks. And to me, that's the epitome of a really good friend. When you know someone is going through something and you give them, quote unquote, the shirt off your back to help them through a really hard time. And it's really sweet to hear the two of you go through those times and to get a glimpse into the friendship that, you know, before quarantine, what it was like.
It was, I didn't expect us to really talk about that today. The idea of the grief that comes with letting go of a job that you've had for a long time, and the reality of how much that job becomes your identity, you know, what Phoebe was saying. And to be honest, you know, I don't think I really fully experienced that grief until, you know, this time in quarantine. I think it's really forced me to stop and look at what I was still holding on to. Because I think I just came out to LA, you know, we moved this family out, you know, I just, my whole focus was on like getting the next job, because there's this level of expectation of the job that I was supposed to be doing, you know, but also really needing to be there for my family, and, you know, and then also trying to reconnect with friends and figuring out my identity as a woman in her early 30s, and, you know, and listening and watching to what everyone else was saying and what everyone else was doing, and thinking I had to be, you know, in some sort of rat race that didn't really exist, you know, and I didn't really take the time to appreciate and grieve, you know, letting go of a past identity. And so it was weird. I think that Phoebe and I would literally be driving next to each other where one of us was in tears, and we'd pull over. And LA is a really big city. It's right. A very hard city to run into people. It's easier to run into people in New York. It is hard to run into people in LA. And so they were really special moments that I look back on. But it was nice in this conversation to be able to talk about that experience, because it is really weird. And I feel like, you know, obviously there's a lot going on in our world that we're not talking about on this podcast right this second, because we knew that we were excited to talk to Phoebe and her accomplishments and to celebrate them. But it's nice to be able to have that perspective of like, okay, I feel like I've really taken that in, and now I can focus on, you know, where I'm at in the world myself, where I'm at with my family. And also that there's a lot going on in the world right now that's more significant than, you know, the things I was letting get to me a few years ago, which as an actress, you know, it can, the most ridiculous things can feel so large. And I know everyone can relate to that in their own way.
Well, that's something that's so great about quarantine, is it gives us time to reflect on who we are, on where we want, who we want to be, and, continue to grow. Even though we're not leaving the house, there's so much growth going on within each of us.
And I'm excited for that time when we get to be together. I mean, I love, you know, what you were saying specifically about that you don't need to know everyone in the room at the party. You don't need to make those rounds. It's really about like the core people who you are taking the time to connect with in life. And I think that that's, I love that so much, that that's something you've been thinking about a lot lately. For what you want your life to look like on the other side of this.
Right. That's definitely something I'm going through too. And I, thanks. Yeah. It's a good epiphany to have, and I'm excited for it once we're out of quarantine. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Directionally Challenged. We love you. Stay safe. We'll have another great episode for you next week. Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions.
Producer, Melissa DeMonts.
Edited by Katrina Henning.
Post-production sound by Chris Henry.
Music by Joe King.
And advertising partnership with Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.